Welcome to the Immerse podcast with your hosts, Alex O'Keefe and Dan Ramsden. As a collective, we are also the co-founders of Immerse Recovery, where we are building the home of recovery for everyday and world-class athletes. Our aim is to immerse you into education via our guests, bringing communities together, embracing positive change, and helping you to create solid habits that will yield the path for your health and longevity. As former sports people, we understand the importance of daily habit change, regular activity, optimal nutrition, sleep quality, and recovery strategies to optimise our daily performance. Our name, Immerse, represents all the elements of our ethos and it promotes a passionate message. We go again is our mantra. It symbolises the opportunity to achieve greatness through repetition, which in turn will allow you to recover quicker.
Tom Powell, welcome to the Immerse podcast, brother. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you for having me, boys. Appreciate it.
I feel like we've bonded this morning.
Yeah, good session. It was a good old sweat, wasn't it?
Yeah, we've had a good workout, ice bath, bit of food.
Fantastic bit of food.
How are you feeling?
Good, great. Yeah. I'm still a little bit chilly, not going to lie. That's why I'm keeping my heart on.
You did a fair duration in there, though, to be fair.
Two songs. I try and do two songs every time I do it. Mm. It's easier that way, I think. Instead of, I don't like clock watching. Mm. I think I'm in there for hours and I'm in there for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I try and do 2 minutes every time I jump in because it's just an easier way to do it.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Two tracks, two songs.
Whatever songs it is, I'll just press shuffle on my playlist and whatever two songs is two songs.
Sometimes you did club mix, didn't you?
Yeah.
If the club mix
comes on, you're going to...
It's 8 minutes, yeah. It's going
to roll with that.
Yeah. It's tougher in the shower. Sometimes, right, I'm not going to lie, if I'm in the ice bath and it's a long song, I am likely to sometimes skip that next. But if I'm in the shower, I can't get up because I'm soaking.
Yeah.
So it's whatever, in the shower, it's whatever two songs come on next.
Yeah. How long have you been doing cold water?
Probably about a year. Mm. Probably about a year. And if you, funny enough, if you go back on my Instagram 3 years ago, there's probably about three reels of me slating people for doing it.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. Ah. I used to be an anti cold water.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell us about the transformation then. How did that happen?
I don't even know why. Probably mushrooms was changed my way of thought. I was a very closed-minded person a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. I thought I knew it all. I thought I knew the fitness industry. I thought I knew my body, the way I thought. I thought I knew a lot of the things I don't really know. I still don't know, but I'm open to learning now because of a sort of a period of mushroom experiences, and it's changed me as a person, I think. Wow. So yeah, I think probably that was the main reason why I started doing it, or it changed my thought path to be more open to trying new things. Tried it and fucking loved it. Nice. And I haven't gone back since, you know?
Yeah. What does it do for you?
Mental. Mine is all mental. It's gets me over the thing that I can do anything, you know? And it makes me realise that my brain is the most powerful tool that I have. Mm. It's not my muscles, it's not, you know, my endurance, it's not my lungs, it is my brain. That is the thing that's getting you through every single workout, over every single possible thing that's challenging you in life. It's all mental. And that's what it's taught me. I can overcome anything. I can, because let's face it, no one wants to get up and go in the ice bath. I don't care how, if you do it every single day, you do not want to do it.
Never.
And the fact that you get over doing it and you just do it and you boss it, it's just a really powerful thing. And you know, the best feeling in the world is getting better at something, is progression. And you know, if I did, when I first started, I was doing 20 seconds, then 30 seconds, then 40, and those progressions is fucking great. When you better yourself, it's a great feeling. So I sort of got a little bit addicted to that as well, you know, bettering myself, and it went into all different parts of my life, I think. I hope. Yeah. Actually, I know it did.
Transfers, doesn't it? It does transfer.
Genuinely does, massively. And I was one of these wankers that didn't think it did. I was so close. Oh, you know, sort your nutrition out, sort everything else out, get to the gym, you know, because I thought there was people that are doing cold water and they've never been to the gym. And now I fully understand it and I take it all back, genuinely.
Yeah.
I fully understand why everyone should be doing it, or at least be trying it, just to build up that resilience, you know, that mental toughness.
Yeah. What I learned about myself in that process of starting were how much I procrastinate. And it wasn't just about cold water, actually about everything. I know, like,
it goes into real life, yeah.
it transfers over into other things. So it's like there's always something else that's going to crop up.
Yeah.
You know, like in that moment when you're going to do it and it's like, oh, you've got an email to send. No. Do you know what I mean? And it's those little things in there, and it's like, fuck off.
That little square needs cleaning up. I'll just clean that in.
See, I procrastinate everything apart from that. Because I think if I procrastinate doing cold water, I wouldn't do it. I either have to go it there and then, or I wouldn't do it.
I've got a tactic for it now, so I don't even think about it. It's not even a ritual. I just take my clothes off and get in, and then I deal with it.
Yeah, there's no stopping. To do it.
Yeah, it's just it's like, and then that's like training, isn't it? You just start your warm up. You get past your warm up, and it's like, right, we're working out now. Because there's many times where I don't want to train, because you've got a bit of a level on what you expect of yourself as well, aren't you? And it's like, fucking hell, I've got to go there again. Wow. But once you get past your warm up, you're okay, aren't you?
And that's what the thing that I tell my clients is, they're like, oh, I can't bother to train. It's like, all right, have you got enough energy for the first 10 minutes? Oh, yeah, I can do the warm up, you know? And I can guarantee you, by the time you finished your warm up, you are going to want to do the rest of the workout. You're going to have enough energy to do the rest of the workout. Yeah. And if you don't, then go home. Fair enough. But 99.9% of the time, you're going to go, yeah, okay, now I'm staying for the rest of the workout. Yeah. And that's all you got to say to yourself. The first, you know, convince yourself in the bath. Oh, all right, maybe tonight, I'm not feeling it today. I'll do a minute today instead. And the second you're at a minute, you know you're going for those two songs. Yeah. You know, it's all about tricking yourself sometimes.
That's it. Yeah.
Getting over that mental barrier little thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we naturally actually met us guys, didn't we? Which I love about that. You know, we had as ice bath products at Afex Games. You were competing at Afex Games.
Yeah.
And you come to us to seek a bit of recovery for afterwards, and I just thought it was just nice to meet, you know, naturally in that way as well, and it's all just formed from there.
I think that's the best thing about the fitness industry right now is meeting other like-minded people.
Yeah,
I love it. That's the best thing about going to these, you know, Athex Games, not competing, because I'm not going to win, but it's meeting people like you, you know, other like-minded people that you can share experience with and grow together. I love it. Absolutely love it, because there's been a lot. I've been in the fitness industry a long time. I was lost in the fitness industry for a long time, being, you know, obsessed with bodybuilding and image and everything. And it's toxic. It was a very toxic place to be. And I think the fitness industry is growing. And now it's about feeling better, you know, not just looking better, because we've realised that looking better doesn't necessarily feeling better. Sometimes looking better means feeling worse, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the way we all think now, we are growing the fitness industry to something great. So I love meeting other people that want to grow the fitness industry in the real way, in the great way, a positive way.
Yeah. I think with bodybuilding, and this is like the fitness industry, taking bodybuilding out of it, the fitness is very honest. You've got to hit your targets, and you've got to do your reps properly. For example, if you're competing and you're getting judged on how to do it, bodybuilding's a little bit different in that sense, isn't it? It's all kind of venereal, and I was stuck in that world for a little while, and it's all about image and how you look, and it's not necessarily healthy.
It's hard to get out as well, isn't it?
It is because it's very consuming in your mind. It takes up a lot of headspace.
Massively.
That stuff.
It takes up all of your headspace, because you're always thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just do the ward and leave. You're then thinking about your fucking chicken and broccoli.
Yeah.
The other 99% of the day, or watching what you eat, or doing this or doing that. And bodybuilding for me isn't what it used to be, you know? It's not for me. I appreciate it. It's a cracking sport, but it's just not for me. I'd rather feel good and be healthy, you know? And I went to a bodybuilding show recently, and there was a coach telling their client, their athlete, all the hard work's done now, good time to show it off. And I thought, oh, that's a bit shit. I'd rather, you know, in fitness competitions, all the hard work's done, now's time to go put in some more fucking hard work and show how resilient you are. Yeah. You know, that's the what I want. I want to show, hard work's yet to be done. Today, let's perform on the day. How are you going to do today? You've done all the hard work. Now time to go pause in your pants. I like the hard work of it all, you know? Who are you today? How much of a dog are you today?
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Yeah, absolutely.
It comes down to, like, you know, like when you're setting goals and going for that end goal, but then reaching that end goal, and then you're like, where do I go from here?
I'm feeling lost. Yeah. Loads of people are like that. They set goals, and then once they get there, they don't really know what to do, so they fall off plan. I think that's a big thing about coaching these days. There's a lot of physique coaches, or, you know, and they take on normal people. They get them a great transformation in 12 weeks, but then in 12 weeks after that, they've gone back looking like a bag of dicks, you know? And they don't feel great. They don't, you know, you didn't actually help them feel great. They felt good for a week.
Yeah.
Right? From when they were fat, lean, etc. But they were starving, obviously. But then they went on holiday, they looked great for the holiday, but then now they have no idea how to do it. Mm. And I just don't think a lot of physique coaches are helping people long term.
Agree. Being on that journey myself, though, you know, in terms of the transformations that I've done previously. We spoke about this on another podcast, haven't we?
Yeah.
There's no long-term solution there.
At all.
There really isn't, you know.
Education is the only long-term solution.
Yeah. So for me, if I'm meeting somebody new to this world, I'm just trying to pull them back and letting them see it as a project and letting them see it as a seasonal thing. Yes. Like, okay, you're going to do this now for this period of time, but then what? What about next year? What about the winter? Are you going to build the resilience to get through these times?
It's always evolving, isn't it? Always evolving. There's no end goal. I think that's the beauty of fitness. There's no end goal. There's no end goal. I want to be, you know, fit when I'm 60. And I think that was the scary part as well, which made me realise about bodybuilding. I want to be able to wipe my own ass when I'm 70 years old. And there's loads of bodybuilders that can't do that. Yeah. You know, and that's a scary thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the shoulder mobility and whatnot. Mm. Yeah.
Honestly, it took me years to be able to do an overhead squat. Years.
Same.
And
I think that's rugby as well, isn't it?
I did. I tore my pec. I had a complete rupture. I had reconstructive surgery from benching.
Did you?
Yeah. I ego lifting, as you do when you're a kid, don't you?
Yeah.
I'd been recently into CrossFit, and I started like testing other things, and I met some powerlifters, and they were like, "Oh, you CrossFitters are not strong." I was like, "Yeah, you watch me.
You are.
That's a challenge, isn't it?" So I joined the powerlifting meet, didn't I? And the first week of my training, I ripped my pec off.
Oh.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like the one rep max. It was the fifth rep, 180 on the way down, gone.
180.
I was strong back in the day.
180.
Yeah.
Oh my days.
That's complete ridiculous. Off. Gone. Bye. The video of it is lovely as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll show you the video later. It doesn't hurt like if you haven't done like torn anything. It doesn't hurt like you think you would. It's like, you know, imagine ripping this. It feels just like that inside you. It's a little bit uncomfortable. It's like, oh fuck, that wasn't right.
Yeah.
But it's not as painful as you think.
Complete ruptures aren't that bad. I've done my fem in the centre of my quad,
and that didn't hurt. It does feel like Velcro, sort of, and really doing strange. Like stitching.
Yeah, I've done a lot of soft tissue injuries.
Yeah.
Hamstrings and whatnot, but I've never done a complete, and the complete were in my quad, and it didn't even feel that bad.
Didn't it?
I just knew I couldn't play on. I did it playing rugby, and I just couldn't play on. Went off, and within about 3 weeks,
that
I was back.
Hard, that does.
I was back, I was back running again. No,
you're different.
Within 3 weeks,
I was back running again.
Wow.
No problem.
No surgery, nothing.
Nothing.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, weird.
Mine's gone. Look at the state now.
Mine's
completely gone. Yeah. Even after reconstructive surgery, mine is still really ugly.
Yeah, you've done a number on that, haven't you?
Yeah, mine's bad. Mine was bad because I ripped the tendon, or I tore the tendon and I tore the ligament. So that's where the pec came across my chest.
Yes. Pretty sight, isn't it? So,
it is what it is.
After all your years and experience of training, then, Tom, what would you say now is your optimal way to train?
For life. Everyone's individual. I train for longevity. I want to look good, feel good, move well, perform well, and as long as physically possible. Mm. You know? Yeah, I get the facade of looking good, but I'm never going to aim to have a six-pack. I'm never going to do, you know, loads of bicep curls to get a decent peak on my bicep, because that stuff isn't important. Mm. You know? I'm seriously thinking about a family, and I want to be able to run with my kids when I'm 45. You know, I want to be able to carry them up the mountain when we're walking, you know, when we're going on family hikes. Yeah. I want to be able to put my kid on my shoulder and walk for 5 miles, 10 miles. Yeah. That's what I want. That's my goal, to be functional, to help other people be functional, to help people live better lives, because fitness done correctly can improve lives.
Yeah.
It can. Like, so I've sort of gone away from coaching athletes a little bit, because it's cool again helping people get better at sport, but it's even cooler helping people change their lives. Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm going for elder people, not elder, but like, don't say it, fuck, not elder, sorry. Sorry, mum. So my mum, she's not wise. So my mum is
wise people.
Yes,
wise people.
Experienced. There we are, mum.
There you go.
Oh, fuck, that sounds bad, doesn't it?
Sorry.
Okay, so I'll start that again. My mum's turning 60 soon, and that age range, 50, you know, when people are going through menopause, when they're struggling to wear their knees, they can't move like they used to, you know, they can't bend over. My mum's still, she was a great tennis player her whole life. Yeah. She was a PE teacher, she was very fit, very, you know, runner, everything. Now she's 60, life gets in the way sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And they stop moving, and we've been working, and she can, like, she used to ache gardening, she used to not do as much as she could. And since we've been training, she's genuinely improved her life. And I'm helping people like that. Like one of my best mates' wives called Donna. She's 40 something, I can't remember. But we're helping her move better. Because she wants to be able to keep up with her kids. And she wants to like grow with her children. She wants to go up for long walks or maybe go for runs with her children and, you know, set a great example for your children.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got those great habits installed in you, you're not going to pass those great habits down to your children. They're going to learn your bad habits from you and pass it on generation to generation. And I'm just trying to help people get healthier habits, to get better habits, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. Like, I'm not a coach myself, you guys are, but I'm guessing that when you coach athletes, it's kind of almost like incremental sort of improvements, whereas people like that, you can literally, like, you know, flip someone's life on 80, can't you? So
yeah.
Completely understand why you go for
it. It's more intrinsic than any extrinsic, you know. It's feeling of self-worth that I've actually helped someone's life, you know. I love it. I love it.
Can't put a price on that.
No, you can't. Yeah. And like I was so obsessed with money for a long time, trying to make, you know, a massive online business and things. And the more you try to do an online business, the more you lose personal touch. Mm. And the more you lose helping real people. So that's why I'm looking to do now, help more one-to-one people and groups of people the same, you know, because I think there's a massive market there of people that need help and there's no one giving it to them, because it's not cool. It's not cool to PT, you know, 60-year-old women, is it? So people don't do it, but these are the people that really need help. So that's who I'm dedicated to helping now, you know.
And building the communities as well is something that I'm really passionate about. And, you know, we was speaking off camera a little bit earlier about that. It can get lonely, can't it, with the online world. And I struggled in lockdown in that sense, you know, trying to keep people together, but through a screen, it's difficult and you don't get the same feelings from it. And I think that, you know, a shaking of hands and making eye contact and everybody patting each other on the back when they've all thrown down together. There's no better feeling than that. There's no better feeling than seeing that. And witnessing it and seeing the growth and everybody challenging himself. It's like, it's beautiful.
Shared growth. Shared struggles breeds growth, you know?
Yeah.
It's great. And there's nothing like communities. There's nothing like fitness communities, is there? You know, running club, gym. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
When I first saw you at Athex, I'm like, I know that guy. I recognise him. Where do I know him from? And we were chatting and all
that.
That's
all I get. Where do I know you from? X on the Beach, isn't it? And it's the wrong TV show. That's right. And then, do you know the worst one is, though? Do I know you from somewhere? It's like, oh, yeah, I was on Love Island a couple of years ago. Oh, yeah, Tom, I know, I follow you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so you did know who I was?
Yeah.
Why are you pretending? I don't care if you've seen the TV show.
Like, I just want to talk to you.
Yeah, and it's always like 40-year-old butch blokes that are trying to hide it. You love Love Island, I know.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to lie. I'm not a Love Island fan. But, however, I did watch that show, and that's how I recognised him. I do know this guy from somewhere. I don't know him. And yeah, I did see you on that. Has that helped to steer a different direction in terms of your career, who you are as a person? Was it worthwhile? Just tell us a little bit about it.
Changed my life.
Yeah,
completely changed my life, you know.
For the better?
I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, I was happy who I was before, but then I suppose I'd never be this person who I am today. I might not be this sound-minded. I'm not sure. It was a very, very different experience that not many people have been through. I very much enjoyed it. It's just, it does wonders for business, obviously. It does wonders for personal training business, you know. I managed to not be that stupid and spank all my money away. I managed to buy a nightclub in Greece. I had that for 10 years, that's an exaggeration. 2017 I bought it and we got rid of it last year. So 7 years we had out of it. COVID bummed us a little bit and we lost quite a lot. So we sold it. That was in Zante, living it up until I'm 30. 17-year-olds, horrible. Yeah, fat old voice, fat yeah, old. Yeah. My business partner's still out there killing it, and he's older than me. Yeah, but that's a different story. Yeah. He's amazing. I couldn't do what he does. You know, drinking, like, it's a flip on my life. Back here, we wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. There, I was finishing my shift. You know, closing the bar up at 5 a.m. Yeah. Different life.
I can relate, man. So I work DJ full time.
Oh yeah,
4 years. Yeah, touring all over.
Hard, isn't he?
Just
on your
just
body.
A completely different life, man.
Did you do any abroad?
Yeah, Ibiza.
Did you?
Portugal. Yeah, all over, really.
That's sick. I've never been to Ibiza.
Yeah. I've been a few times.
Too much. Have you? Probably too much. Because I've been in Zante for, like, I did 3 seasons before Love Island, then I was able to buy a club after it.
Yeah.
I've just always been there, sort of thing.
Is it, because it is a complete, like, mad, different world to what flip. You know what we're living now with the health, fitness, and
just say the very least. I'd be my first season there, I drank straight for like 151 days. Oh, and I don't mean a beer a day, it was probably 10 beers a day, you know. And it wasn't beers, because fucking vodka, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Obviously you calmed it down in the last seasons, because you have to be, you know, but every night you're at least having 2 beers. Mm. 3 beers every single night. Mm. And obviously here, I don't drink really. I don't remember the last time I had a beer. But it's completely, completely different. I'm glad about that now. Yeah. I couldn't do it again.
No.
But that, like, obviously I couldn't have bought a place if it wasn't for Love Island, you know?
Yeah.
It's boosted my coaching business, because the reach I've got now, you know, I've got a lot of contact. I wouldn't have met a lot of people. So yeah, I think definitely for the better, Love Island did. I don't know what I'd be doing if I wasn't. I'd probably just doing personal training again, just on a smaller scale.
Yeah. So you've remained quite true to who you are.
Yeah.
Deep down there,
haven't
you? It's not the case for everyone that goes on that show, is it? But
I think people think that they're going to be rich coming off of a show, and they don't realise that they have to do work after it. You know, some people, their Instagrams will carry them their whole lives now, because they've got 3 million followers. Yeah. But the people like us have only got 200K. You have to work. And then when they realise, shit, I've got no skill to fall back on, they just, this is where they sell Herbalife, or sell, you know, get skinny coffees, or do this or do that, except stupid brand deals. Because they haven't got a skill they can rely back on and actually make a career and money out of.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Because they offer people stupid money, you know? Mm. Like, I've been offered money. Like, I think my best post was £700 for a post. It's not bad money for taking a photo, is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That was back in the day when I was, you know, fresh out of Love Island, getting 200,000 likes a photo, etc. But, yeah, you know, some people are getting stupid money. Like, stupid money. I talked to one of the girls 2 seasons after me. She had $1 million deal for a year off one clothing brand.
Oh. Wow.
Don't need skill when you've got that. Do you know what I mean?
No. Are we going to get an invoice after this?
You might. Off our manager now.
No,
I bet some people do charge for that, though. Has anyone charged you yet?
No.
Try to. Some people do. We tried to get a couple on mine.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On my failed podcast, which lasted 3 episodes long. But yeah, we tried to get a couple, and 2 of them tried to charge us.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because if you're not getting a certain, like, viewing amount, it's not worth their time.
Right.
And I can sort of see it, but it's only trying to grow. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I think it's when you know why you're doing it as well. You know, for us, if this goes out and we help one person with a message, something resonates with someone, then hopefully the guest is in the same sort of position.
For him.
You know what I mean? So everybody wins then, do you know? And that's where we're coming from with it. And luckily, we've not even had to have that discussion yet. So
that's great.
Yeah,
but it just shows that you're not in it for money. You're in it for the real reason, innit?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Yeah. So, tell us about your podcast. What happened?
I lasted 3 episodes.
Right.
We started it. It was called Just Three Wise Men. Yeah. We started because I owned the nightclub in Greece during lockdown, and we couldn't fly there. Right. And I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to drive to Greece.
Yeah.
So I managed to convince the boys to do a road trip with me to Greece during lockdown. I knew that would happen. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Honest, my mother. Sorry, boys.
I'll call you after. I apologise.
Yeah, mum, I'm getting sorry. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So I had to get to my nightclub to open up, because we were opening in June, I think, but we couldn't fly there until June, and I needed to get my bar ready before this. Yeah. So I convinced my 2 best mates to drive out with me. It was supposed to take 8 days. It took 14. We got strip searched. We got
40 years.
Yeah, but my best mate Aaron is a videographer, so we filmed it all, documented it all. It was class.
Yeah.
And then the year later, we did one in Italy, the Italian job. Nice. Did the same travel in Italy, just us three. It was more successful because we planned that one a little bit better, because the first one was mad. And then we thought, oh, let's try a podcast. And we was not consistent with it. I think we put out 3 episodes in 3 months. So yeah, we knocked that on the head because we couldn't commit to it really. It was just a bit hard because at the time I was living in Wales. One of the boys was living in Manchester and the other one was living in Leeds.
Yeah, if you can't get together and do it.
Oh, yeah, it was too hard.
We noticed the struggle.
Shit as well. We just get stoned, and then halfway through the episode, people are like, boys, we're rambling about nothing. But who's going to watch this apart from us? We'd watch them back and love it, but yeah, they were rubbish.
You never know.
You'd be surprised at people literally just like sitting there and listening to random conversations.
Yeah. I do that all the time when I drive now. Yeah. Podcast instead of music. It might be 5 minutes of music, 3 hours of podcast.
Yeah.
I'd much prefer it.
Yeah,
it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's nice.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Especially when you get something tangible to take away from it. It's like, ooh, yeah, that's great advice or whatever. That's really useful.
In most of the podcasts I do, I always get a few things. On my phone, I'll always get my notes up. If I'm listening to something that I can take away, I'm a bastard for forgetting. So I'll write it down straight away. And I'm like, every podcast episode I've ever listened to, I think I've written about 5 notes from my phone that I'm taking from that episode.
Yeah.
It's class.
Yeah. Shout out to Bedros Koulian.
Yeah.
He's a badass. Yeah. He's a badass. His podcast is outstanding.
Is it?
Yeah.
Have you listened to him?
How he can hold that space on his own and just give firepower constantly.
He's unreal.
He's unreal.
Yeah,
so shout out to
Bedros.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I saw a tongue-in-cheek post about being Prime Minister. Free protein shakes for all.
I had no idea what he was going to
say. I liked that. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
On a more serious note, if that was you, what changes would you make in society?
Don't ask me about bloody politics.
Don't have to be too.
I'm a bit of an anti-vaxxer.
Okay.
So am I.
Same.
Are you? Yeah. Oh, yeah, good. Yeah. Well done, boys.
We're on the same path.
Yeah, I think Parliament's fucked. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't live in the UK if I could, to be honest. I think it's all corrupt. I don't believe in any of it. Mm. I don't know. I don't know how I'd change. I'm not a politician. Like, I'm far from. I'm just trying to do my bit. As long as I can help my community, as long as I can help as many people as I can live a better life, you know. Mm. My plan. I'm not gonna lie to you, boys. I'm a doomsday kind of prepper, right? Yeah. I want to buy somewhere off land. My missus' family own a farm, and I'd love to live there.
Yeah.
And go off grid. Like my mother grows all her own food, all her own everything. Mm. So that's what I would love to do. Become completely self sufficient. My mum's teaching me how to grow vegetables now, and you know, so I can finally. Like, I'm 31 years old, and do you know the shop's closed now, I'd be dead within a week.
Yeah.
I'd be dead within a week.
Yeah.
I couldn't survive.
Yeah.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm 31 years old, and if my phone like died now, if the internet went off, I'd be dead within a week.
I can really actually, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's horrific.
Yeah, it is when you
so
think
that's
about
sudden
it.
Like realization, that. And I was like, but this needs to change.
Yeah.
I need to be able to survive like the zombie apocalypse or whatever is coming.
Mm.
If it's coming, you know. I'm not saying zombie apocalypse, that's a bit far-fetched. But I think that hunting and survival tactics, not survival tactics, being able to forage food, like survive and feed yourself, etc., on your family might come in handy one day.
Yeah.
So my mum's teaching me.
And that's why you stay strong, so you never know when you need to wrestle a zombie.
Yeah, innit? Yes.
Yeah.
They could probably catch me though, I'm a little bit slow these days. But yeah, that's me. I'd rather go off grid totally, and to be totally honest with you, I'd like to start a little community. You know, I'd love to. So
it'd be teaching self-sufficiency.
Yeah. I'd love to be self-sufficient, completely self-sufficient, and help others be self-sufficient.
Mm.
Because I think it's a cracking skill to have, and I want to be able to look after my family as they get older. You know, like in England or in the UK, it's a normal thing for children to grow up and leave their parents, get old, and die alone. Mm. And I think it's horrible. I don't want my mum to die alone. I don't want my nan to die alone. Like, I'm moving back now to start and build a community with my nan, with my mum, with my missus, with their family. I want us to all live in a compound as a family, because I want to look after them as they get older and they can't do these things.
Yeah.
You know, my mother gave her entire life to me. And why do we not do these things for our parents? Because, you know, I think it's wrong.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think I've learned a little bit. Living in Bradford, I've learned quite a lot from the Muslim culture, because that's what they do. They help each other and they live together and things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're proud of their parents. And I'm really proud of my mum. Like, she's taught me everything. Yeah. Like, I don't really speak to my dad. I haven't spoken to my dad in years now. Mm. He didn't really raise me. He didn't do anything. My mum did.
Yeah.
And why would I not look after her for as long as physically possible, you know, and try and improve her life as well? Mm-hmm. So that's what I would do.
That's nice. That's really nice. That's quality.
I've got a similar view, you know, like, when anyone tries to talk to me about politics or anything, I just kind of just like, why are we talking about that? Let's focus on this, our little tribe.
If we improve our little tribe.
Just our little tribe.
It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get that, mate. Completely get that.
And again, thinking about politics as a whole, it's a bit scary, isn't it? Like, we don't know how far this goes. Like, with the COVID thing, we are never going to know the truth.
No.
I don't think we're ever going to know the truth. We're never going to know, like, who's been paid, what, and anything in politics. We're just too far down.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I don't really tend to bother with any shit like that.
No,
it's gone.
Newspapers, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah. My nan's rife with it all. She's talking about the new COVID variant coming around, and I'm like, Nan, yeah, okay. Just stay inside for a week, it's all right. You can't convince them now, can you?
No.
It's crazy.
And you got to understand that it is generational, you know. Our parents, their parents, it's what they grew up with. But I'm just so grateful for podcasts, independent news, you know, people who are actually trying to find what's real.
The truth.
The truth.
Yes, yes, not that's been paid off. 100%.
And I'm grateful for, you know, we've got access to that information in our generation. So I think it's a great time to be alive in
change is coming.
Yeah.
Change is coming, isn't it?
I think so.
I very much think it's change is coming.
Yeah.
One way, shape or form.
Yeah. And realising like and waking up a little bit more. And
I agree. I think it is things like this, like you said, podcasts, you know, real news, independent news agents, etc.
Yeah.
The people like that are bringing the truth, exposing...
Uncensored.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they're bringing... They're bringing the change.
Yeah.
They're bringing the change.
Yeah. I've noticed it with my kids as well. Like, they're so much more sympathetic and understanding and more mature than what I were at that age. You know, yeah. And that's the change that I'm seeing as well, you know, the younger generation coming through. They're a lot more switched on than what we used to be.
Yeah. Younger generation. It's a hard thing. To be a kid these days, I wouldn't like to be here. I really want children, I do, but bringing kids into this world right now is a bit crazy with everything that's going on, honestly, you know. Like, letting a five-year-old decide what sex they want to be and chopping their own off, you know, I'm right. I think that's mad. I think it's crazy, you know.
Yeah.
They're going to choose a brownie over $1 million. You know, what's the sense in that?
Yeah.
You can't give kids this decision. I think, I don't know, we're just forcing... It's not equality anymore. It's gone past equality, isn't it? Everything's gone past equality.
Mm.
It's gone, you can say whatever you want and you can have whatever opinion you want. If you think you're a chair, you're a chair.
Yeah.
And I just think it's gone a little bit too far from you boys, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it has.
But all I'll say to you there is, mate, don't let that put you off having children because I'm so excited. It's the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah, I bet.
We're both dads, aren't we, Dan?
We are, mate, yeah.
And my little boy is 2 now. It's just... It does change your perspective on the world, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And I was so anti it.
And you'll be a great dad.
Thank you very much.
You will, mate.
I hope so.
You will.
I hope so.
Sense that.
And speaking like that is mad because I've never, ever wanted kids. Mm. Ever. Mm. I was so. And I wasn't anti kids. I just thought, I'm going to live my life. Yeah, I want to get married. I've never wanted to get married. I still don't want to get married. I think marriage is a made up thing. I will get married because my missus wants to get married. Then I'm going to give her anything she wants. I wouldn't get married for me. I think it's a day, expensive party, you know? I don't need a certificate to tell me that I love Danny, you know? I'm going to tell her every day myself. I don't need that. So I still don't really want to get married, but kids, I was just, I want to spend my money on me. I want to experience everything myself.
Yeah.
And then took a little bit too much mushrooms. Got stuck on a treadmill for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I was going to the gym. I thought, I'll take a little microdose now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so my guy sent me 2 different packets and I didn't realise I took the wrong packet. So I thought, a little microdose, you know, little thing, sorted. On the way to the gym, things start moving. And I'm like, this was not a microdose. Fuck. Get to the gym quick. So I pulled in the gym. I was like, right, okay, chilled out, had a little sports drink. on the way in, the guy's like, oh, big sesh today. I was like, yeah, I've got snatches, everything, etc. And then continued to just walk on the treadmill for 2 hours. I bet I looked like a right freak. Wow. Headphones on, sweating, no music in at all, just my own thoughts. I went deep, boys, on the treadmill. Yeah. And I realised why I didn't want kids and came to terms with it. And now I'm like, shit, yeah, no, that was stupid to think like that. And I can't wait to have children. I can't wait to have a family, yeah. 2 hours of being deep and in my own soul, realizing, you know, the selfishness of why I didn't want kids, and now I think, fuck, how did I think like that?
Wow!
And now I can't wait.
So on that treadmill, your ego kind of
took
got a
battering.
Bit dissolved, didn't it?
Yeah. Took a battering. Yeah. Every mushroom experience, your ego gets less and less and less, and I think you know more and more who you are.
And who you don't want to be.
And who you don't want to be. That is exactly it. I don't think you find out who you want to be. I think you find out who you don't want to be.
Yeah.
That's nail on the head,
that's
mate.
That's it.
Yeah, I love that. That's it.
So we've obviously spoke about psychedelics a lot on this podcast, delved in and out, but why do you think there's so much of a stigma around it?
It's the unknown, isn't it? People fear the unknown. And again, we've been taught to not to do these things because there's a lot of bullshit by the media all these years. We've been taught the wrong things all these years. Simple as.
Yeah.
And I think it's just that. Because there's no information on it, there's no... Yeah. People get scared of what they don't know.
Yeah.
And it is a bit scary, isn't it? Let's face it, we've all had those little scary times on mushrooms where we got a little bit too far.
Yes.
Yes.
You know? Like, when I did DMT, thank God it was 7 minutes long because my mate was standing over me and I swear to God... I've got these spotlights in my room, the little spotlights, only six of them. There was thousands of them and they were all crocodile eyes staring at me with my mate in flames around, and I was like,
in flames,
honest God, not flames, it was like he was searing so hot, like him, like as if you had smoke and sort of things coming off you now. Do you know that you can kind of see through them, but it's hot, they're that coming off my mate. And so thank God I knew it was only 7 minutes because I was like, shit, if this was long, I'd be panicking. Yeah. I don't know if I'd do that again.
Useful?
I didn't really get much from that.
No.
DMT. No, I'm not going to lie. I went to places and I saw different things, but I didn't have that change from like I did from mushrooms. Mm. Like mushrooms genuinely has helped me. I think every time I've taken mushrooms, I've learned something. Mm. I've done DMT 4 or 5 times and I've never really learned anything. You know, as in about myself, I've never had that experience, I suppose.
And what would you say were the biggest lesson that you've learned through that journey?
Listen to yourself. Listen to who you are. Because I was trying to be someone I wasn't for so long. I was trying to fit in a world that I was never going to fit in because I wasn't born to fit in that, you know. I was trying to fit in bodybuilding, I was trying to fit in that era in being on TV and being known and being in the public eye, and that's not me, you know. I'm a people's person. I want to stop and talk to everyone on the streets, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I realised that the more mushrooms I do, the more times I've done it, I've sort of realised who I am as a person. And it sort of wears off sometimes, and I find myself going, oh, that's a nice car. Oh, I'm going to buy that new nice car. And I'm like, no, why are you fucking over a stupid car? Your car's lovely. Your car's perfect. It runs fantastically. Why are you buying a new car, Tom? And then I realise all over again, and it'll make me realise that I don't want to be this person who cares about materialistic, stupid crap.
Stripping it back.
Yeah. Really stripping it back to what means something, to be honest. Because I don't know. I never felt like I had worth, you know, self-worth or anything chasing paper. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't make you a better person. Doesn't make you full. Doesn't make you more complete.
Yeah. And I think that's why psychedelics are banned from the government, because it's not good for profits when people
are happy,
think for themselves.
Are good, think of themselves, yeah.
And don't want material things and just want a simple, basic life and don't want to be listening to the mumbo jumbo that's going on around them. So yeah, that's what I think as well.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Like, it's a multi-billion-dollar corporation, isn't it? Let's face it, they make money. Like, they literally make all their money off us. So if we are not giving them our money, then yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah,
it's a good way of thinking.
we'll keep speaking about it, and hopefully it's just going to start opening more eyes, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely needs to change. Like we said, you know, these things do need to change. Strip it back to the core of who we actually are. That, I think that's one thing about cold water as well. Mm. You know, some of the most peaceful times, if you're out in nature and you're in cold water and you're just having a look around, taking it all in, and it's just silent. You can hear the breeze and the trees, and looking around, it's just like, oh, we don't need much else than this.
Completely.
But everything I need right now is great. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Everything right now is perfect. Yeah. Everything that needs to be is
in the moment.
Yes,
it's presence in it, and I think that's what we lack now because of screen time and, you know,
we are
all guilty of this. You know,
massively.
We've all had to take breaks because we try to catch up on our phone. You know what I mean? We do need.
It's the way the world works now.
That is the world that we live in. But it's being aware that it's the dosage in it. It creates the poison. It's like nutrition. Yeah. It's like anything.
It's,
you know what I mean? It's just bringing it back to some sort of balance and realizing that what you're doing is detrimental.
Yeah, I remember. It was probably about a year ago, boys. 8 hours screen time on my phone. 8 hours a day.
A day.
Wow. 8 hours.
On average, over a long.
Yeah. 8 hours a day, boys. Wow. What am I doing with life? Yeah. That's a lot, isn't it? And don't get me wrong, it was more than a year ago, probably like 2 years ago, but that was when I was, you know, posting, etc.
Yeah.
But still, that's not, you can't post for 8 hours. You know, that was, you'd wake up and scroll for a bit, and before you go to bed, you scroll for a bit.
Mm.
Bad habits, man. Mm. I think I'm down for 1 hour, 1 hour, I think, because I only post, I don't scroll. I actively unfollow people.
Yeah.
I actively unfollow people that I don't, or mute. I don't unfollow people because people get offended. I have no idea why. If I unfollow people, sometimes they'll message me saying, hey, you unfollowed me. Why? I'm like, oh, I don't care about seeing your posts. Sorry.
I wouldn't even know.
No, some people check. Some people have those bots on and that tells you if you...
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm assuming so.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've had it. Like, I did an unfollowing spree, like, quite a lot. And I had quite a lot of people messaging me. Yeah. And I didn't think that they would notice.
Yeah.
People do.
Just take the hint, man.
Yeah. I just don't know. Yeah. People don't... And then I'd follow them again then. So I just mute people now because I don't want to see stuff that stresses me out or I don't want to see stuff that will keep me on my phone for longer. Because you get numb to real dopamine hits on you outside and you get numb to the real life.
Because
you're constantly living through your phone. Like these kids these days, you have to get their attention in the first 5 seconds or they're going to click to someone else's video.
It could be like drinking poison as well. Do you know, like if somebody makes you feel jealous or envious or, you know, all these negative traits that we can have, and our screens can just constantly feed us with the same shit, and the algorithms will just keep showing you if you keep looking at it, and then it's building something wrong up inside you, isn't it? You know, it's dangerous. I struggle with it, I'm not gonna lie. As you may have seen, I've got a really shit social media following, but I'm not really bothered about it. I post something that I feel may be useful to somebody else, and then I might go missing for a week. I'm not on it all the time, and I know sometimes I should be a bit more active with it, but it doesn't always serve me in the moment either, you know, just being on my phone too much. So it's like,
I think you're doing
it
the right way.
You're
putting out content, right, that you think can help people.
Mm.
Most content creators are putting content out there to make themselves money.
Mm.
So I think you're doing it the right way. If on a Monday you think, oh, I can help someone today, and you post the content, fantastic. If you can't think of a way to help someone until the Thursday, you're doing 100% of your capacity of helping people. They are not. They're just trying to sell some and market some bullshit. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
You're being authentic. So I think it's the right way to do it. It's a real way to do it. Mm, there's no right and wrong way to do it, you know, Instagram, but... I think you're doing it in a good way.
Ah, thank you. Appreciate it. But it doesn't build anything, but equally it's fine.
No,
it's fine.
I don't know. Like 50 years ago when there was no cell phones, no like internet, whatever, maybe longer than 50 years ago, but there was probably what? A hundredth of the depression cases, of the anxiety cases, of this, you know?
Mm.
I think it speaks volumes.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
You know, phones ain't good for us. The internet, this sort of lifestyle ain't good for us. People were happier, I think, 100 years ago. obviously they had, you know, more diseases and, you know, less technological advancements. Mm. So they were dying younger, but, you know, they had self-worth. They were all happy. They, you know, you didn't have people crying in the corner because someone took their fork. Come on, I called them a silly, or called them a man when they've actually got a dick and they're claiming to be a woman. You know, yeah. Come on now. Sorry, I misgendered you. Mm. You look like a bloke, or you are a bloke. I can't get into that because that's another one that's mad for me.
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole, isn't it?
That is a rabbit hole. Yeah.
We don't need to.
I'm likely to go down those rabbit holes.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. The older I get, the more I'm likely to go down rabbit holes as well. Like, I didn't used to be like this. I'm going to wear a tinfoil hat soon, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I love it these days. It's bad.
Yeah, I went down a big one about... Well, it was just after my mum passed away, so it was like 16, 17 years ago now. Mm. I went down a big rabbit hole of health industry.
Did you?
Nutrition, drug industry.
Yeah.
FDA, what they're putting in things.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, I went down a big rabbit hole, and I turned out to be a bit of an arsehole in that process because I was mad as well, you know, or angry about what had happened, and I wanted to know answers and find out solutions to these problems. And yeah, I turned out to be a bit of an arsehole for a while in the quest of trying to find the truth, you know, because I'm mad at the world.
I relate very much.
But you come round and you settle down again.
It's about growing, isn't it? That's a growth phase. It's helping you become who you are today.
Yeah, for sure.
I've been through that exact, like a very similar thing, being angry whilst you're trying to learn and thinking you're right as well about things and not going through things the right way because you're in a wrong frame of mind.
Yeah.
It's a very hard thing to do. Well done to you for going through it, bro.
Yeah, well, that's what life is, isn't it? You just got to go through, through the gears in the trenches sometimes and find out who you are. And again, that's what working out does for me as well. You learn a lot about yourself when you're in the trenches, don't you?
Yeah.
Like we were in about 2 hours ago. Yeah.
That was a nasty workout. Hope for that one through. Did you design
it? Yeah, yeah.
Dan the man did that.
40, 30, 20, 10. Yeah, that was nice.
All right, that
was a nice little tester for a Wednesday morning.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to just divert a little bit. I've got to say, I massively respect you for your transparency in speaking about things like TRT and where you've been in the past with all that sort of thing. I know you've been involved in a documentary regarding PEDs, and this is not just a conversation, I feel, for men. This is a conversation for women that also have relationships with men that need to understand this shit that we go through.
Yes.
So I think it's important for everyone to get a better understanding of this, and you're obviously open about speaking about it. Where do we start there in terms of what's your opinion of it all now, and where do you stand now on this sort of subject?
I'm not anti-steroids. I'm not pro-steroids. I will be on TRT for probably the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. Is that medically?
No. It's very hard to get it medically. I probably could restore my natural testosterone levels myself. It would just probably take about a year and a half. Because I've been on and off for a while, you know, since Love Island. I'll start at the beginning, boys.
Yeah.
I wanted to be in the fitness industry for very long. This was sort of the main reason why I went on TV, because I wanted to be a sponsored athlete. That's what, you know, I thought my life would be fucking complete after being a sponsored athlete. Yeah. Did Love Island, became a sponsored athlete, and realised that this meant nothing. it was crazy.
The old Jim Carrey saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know the Jim Carrey song.
Oh, do you not?
No.
I hope that everybody gets their dreams and desires to realise that it's not the answer.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's good. That's very good. Yeah. That's exactly how I felt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Generally, that's all I wanted, to be a fitness model, you know?
Mm.
So went on Love Island. I met the... I don't know if you've heard of the Harrison twins, you probably have.
Yes.
Big in the fitness industry. Mm.
Are they from Leeds?
Manchester.
Manchester.
So... they were my idols. Loved them growing up. You know, I thought they are sick lads. Even though I knew nothing about them, actually nothing. I followed them on social media, that is it. So I reached out to them after Love Island, got speaking with them, trained with them, and got sponsored by the same sponsor as them. And I was like, boys, talk to me about steroids. You know, because at the time I was natural, apart from growth. Years and years ago with the Welsh team, but that's a different story. Mm. So PEDs, as in like steroids, etc. I asked them, boys, talk to me. Like, because I'm outside the fitness industry, I'm trying to get into it, you know. Mm. Do you take it? You want it, you know? Because I was still really naive. And they said, yeah, everyone's on it. You can't compete with everybody else. You can't, you know, be this condition year round. Mm. And so that was sort of the last nail in the coffin. And I was like, yeah, all right, fuck it, let's do it. So I think Love Island was in August 2016, January 2017 was my first ever injection. Just because I wanted to be in the fitness industry, I wanted to look good, you know.
Apparently, steroid, was it? Testosterone, just test.
Oh. My first ever cycle. Do you know who WADA is? The governing body for the Olympics.
Mm.
So I did their little level one course, so I was very clued up on it. One of my best mates, Dan Morgan, shout out, son, genius. He is one of the boys that has kept me knowledgeable at all. He sort of done his first course very similar time to me, and we learned together, we did courses together, we understood together, we knew everything before we were doing it.
Mm.
So I was very safe with it.
Yeah.
But obviously, you can be as safe as you want and you're still going to get side effects. And you don't think they're side effects, it just comes part and parcel because you're in the bodybuilding world. Mm. Getting a bit of gyno is just normal.
Mm.
How is that normal? Forming a lump and your lip nip is not normal. Mm. But to everybody in the fitness industry, in the bodybuilding industry, not fitness, I apologise, thinks that's normal. Like if I talk about gyno, oh yeah, got a bit of gyno. How bad is it? Is it hurting? Yeah, don't worry about it yet. Oh, if it is hurting, just take some drugs to get rid of it.
So just break that down for anyone who doesn't know what that is.
Oh, sorry. Gynecomastia is a buildup of estrogen behind the nipple. It can be very painful. Bodybuilders get it when they take excess testosterone. You can also get it from nandrolone derivatives like Tren, but then it's not necessarily an estrogen buildup. It is a prolactin buildup. So basically, some people can get it through natural. Some people can get it. Most people get it through steroid use.
Yeah.
Or steroid abuse. You can get it through steroid use because I used to get estrogen side effects at low level testosterone, you know, and any prolactin. So if I put Tren in my body straight away, it would flare up really bad.
Mm.
But because I was in the bodybuilding industry, this was classed as normal. So I was sort of convinced that it was normal. So I sort of dealt with it for a couple of years until I realized that this is not normal behavior. The bodybuilding industry is not normal. And I wanted to sort it all out. So at that point, I'd done Tren. I'd done one cycle of Tren or two cycles of Tren. I did two cycles of Tren because I did a news article in an American magazine. I can't remember who it was called. It was 6 pages of me and my ex talking about how they're living with me, etc., and why I always trained, etc., and all the how I was on Tren. And like I used to wake up in the middle of the night, like I'd pissed the bed, soaked. Through 2 towels job. I wake up, put a towel down, wake up 2 hours later, put a towel down.
Wow.
And you just deal with it because that's bodybuilding.
Wow. Yeah.
You know? And my ex, to be fair to her, fantastic. And my current ex is even better. Like, my current missus, ex. Sorry, Danny, my lad. She puts up with me. Like,
we'll edit that out.
So Danny, I've been on Tren whilst I was with Danny, and the changing point where I realised, because they say steroids changes you, you know, it's a very stigmatised thing, like, oh, riders take it and you're aggressive and you're fighters and you're nasty and you're ride ragers. And I think testosterone doesn't make it. The one thing that did change me, and like, I'm a placid person, I'm not an angry person, I haven't got, you know, I don't kick off. Tren makes you like that. Tren is the only one that fucked my head. I'd go to Tesco's to, you know, buy chicken and rice for myself, and then I'd buy her flowers, and by the time I'd get home, I'd chuck the flowers in the bin because I'd be like, nah, she doesn't deserve these. Yeah, Tren fried my head. Like, I'm not a fighter.
Wow.
Like, I've trained fighting for years, but like, I'm not someone to start a fight. I hate fighting. Mm. I think it's absolutely pointless. And tried to start a fight with an Uber driver because he cut me up in a line on a queue. And stupid things. And it was that point, because I was in the car with Danny, her sister, and her sister's fiance. And I literally got out of the car and tried to rip the handle off some Uber driver to fight him because he cut me up. And that was the point where I was like, fuck yeah, this is not normal behaviour.
Mm.
Like, do you know when you're talking about this with other bodybuilders? They're like, oh yeah, that's happened to me, bruv, don't worry about it. I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
If I told a normal person that, they'd be like, oh, Tom, seek help.
Mm.
don't worry about it, seek help. Go and see a therapist.
Yeah.
So I came off everything. And sort of that was, again, one of the journeys into functional fitness, into realising that bodybuilding is toxic, and I never want to be in that industry again, really.
Mm.
Or Perfect. It can be toxic. It doesn't have to be toxic.
Yeah, I think it has its place.
It very much has its place. If you're mentally there for it,
yeah.
I just wasn't. That wasn't who I am.
Yeah.
A lot of people, that is who they are.
Yeah.
You know, they love it, they live it, they breathe it.
Yeah.
That's not me. And it was toxic because I wasn't meant to be there.
There's, for me, there's a large amount of my training is hypertrophy training, is bodybuilding style training, because it's serving my strength levels and it's serving me to be more functional, because I'm a naturally smaller guy. I've never been a big guy. I'm 80 kilos. That's as good as it gets, you know what I mean? And that was one of the reasons why I struggled in rugby, because that takes a toll on your body when you just keep getting smashed by 15, 16 stone blocks, you know, yeah. It does take a toll on you. But that's just me. So hypertrophy training has helped navigate my body through those difficult times. It's definitely got its place and it still serves me well now. But it's just knowing how much are you going to do it.
I think hypertrophy is functional. I do hypertrophy training every single day. I do hypertrophy in all my clients. Mm. You know, a lot of people confuse functional training with CrossFit. Yes, CrossFit isn't functional. Well, yeah, it is, but it's not what functional training is. Functional is purposefully moving it's going to improve your life. Yeah. So, reverse lunges to help in individual leg strength, etc., to help people get up better. That's great. That's so I'm going to do 8 reps with a weight, with a kettlebell, etc. That's hypertrophy training. But that is also helping an elderly lady who's fallen down get back up. So that's functional. She's not like... It's functional for purpose, isn't it? It's functional to each individual person. Like, it's not functional for an 80-year-old to do a fucking muscle up. You know? But I think that's what a lot of people confuse. That they're thinking, they look at us and say we're functional, you know? And because we do burpees and we do snatches and they think that they're going to do that, when that's not what they should be doing, is it? No. You know, not even close. No. So Sharon, you know, who's 17 stone at 45, just wants to lose a bit of weight, we wouldn't be doing anything like we do on them. Functional fitness is individual to that person, and I think a lot of the fitness industry forget that it's so individual.
It's the gateway, isn't it? You've got to start somewhere, and then it could end up there over time depending on what someone's goals and needs are. But it's not necessary to be, you know, doing burpee over bar when when you're pushing 80.
It's not necessary for us to do it today, boys, but we still did.
We still did it.
Thanks for that.
Because we can.
Yeah. Nice. But going back to steroids, sorry, I went off on a tangent.
That's all good.
It's changed my life forever. Yeah, I've had to have gyno surgery. I had to have my nipple cut off. Mm. You know, again, not normal behaviour. Mm. I'm past it now. I'm on TRT. I will be on TRT for life now, because it takes a while for you to get back up, and I might want to have kids in the past, you know, next year maybe, and I want to feel sound. Like, I think low testosterone levels are just as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than high testosterone levels. Because depression, sleep, anxiety, muscle wastage, all of these things are linked to low testosterone levels. So any male over 30, I recommend get a blood test. And I'm not saying go on steroids, I'm not saying go on TRT, but get your bloods test to check your testosterone levels, because you can naturally increase it. Doctors know how to naturally increase it as well. You know,
how often do you get your bloods done?
6 months, roughly. I was doing cycles, it would be 2 weeks on after being on cycle to check, you know, the drugs were half decent. And then it would be 6 to 8 weeks post-cycle. And then usually about 6 months post-cycle and after. But obviously I'm just on TRT now, so I don't really need to do it as often. I just need to check that my levels are still all right. So usually about 6 months. I'm not going to lie, it's been about 10 months this time.
And mentally and where you are now, do you feel like you're in a great place in body and mind because of this treatment as well, and keeping an eye on these things?
Yes, I don't suffer from low testosterone at all, because I TRT, I keep my natural my testosterone at a natural level. I'm probably high end. I'm definitely high end of the natural scale, but I don't plan ever coming off to suffer from any of those, because I know people that go through 10, 11, 12 months of depression, of feeling tired all the time because of the coming off steroids, and they can't fully do it, you know? And I don't want to feel like that.
So,
and I might not ever be switched back on, you know, because I've done it for a while. I've done it for a few years. I might not ever, you know, I'm past the threshold where you can recover well, you know. If you take them when he's 21, my first ever steroid encounter was 25 years old, you know, and I took them on and off for 5 years straight. I did cycle in between. I was smart, but I'm 31 now. This is when our testosterone is starting to drop anyway. I just want to feel great. I want to be able to perform. You know, there's not much damage in doing TRT for the rest of your life if you know what you're doing, if you're doing it carefully, if you're doing it in a safe way.
Yeah. Last year, I started getting my bloods done just for general well-man checks, you know, on vitamin levels, cholesterol, thyroid function,
great,
everything. And my tests were about 13.
Your test was?
Yeah. MLO. It's low, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, yeah. That's low.
Yeah.
It's saying the natural range is anywhere between 9 and 29.
Right. Yeah. So
there's a few outliers that are obviously above 29 and they're just,
yeah, it's measured in MLOL. And yeah, that's the deciding factor of where your range is. But from that first one, and then I had it redone 6 months later, and I got it up to 22.
Naturally.
See, naturally.
It's a great, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the thing, people don't understand, you can do it naturally. Mm. Genuinely, doctors know great things. Yeah. And it's about lifestyle, it's about what things you eat, it's about how you do things. And it's things that you can do every day, isn't it?
Mm. I started power napping.
Yeah.
I scheduled power naps into my day and started to reduce my amount of HIIT training that we're doing. And I'm just stripping it back a little bit. I know I'm making it more progressional. I sort of lost myself in my training. Everything were just slog.
But balls to the wall, let's
balls
go
to the
it.
Wall, all stress, all the time.
And the stress builds up, and you don't realise.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and I'm not getting any younger either. I'm 40 now, so it's like I need to sort this shit out.
Shut the bed, son. You're 40, isn't you? What's in the water up here? Give me some of that.
It's that Bradford water, mate.
Jeez.
Thank you, mate. Yeah, but yeah, and naturally, it's on the slide anyway. Which I know, so I thought, I'm going to test this out. I'm going to see if I can do this myself.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Upped my fats, dropped my carbs a little bit.
Yeah.
Reduced my output, started napping. Up it went.
And you feel better now?
Yeah.
Did you realise you felt bad or not?
No, felt fine in my own mind. I didn't feel like I was struggling with my mental health or anything like that.
Or gym-wise, you wasn't aching, you wasn't tired?
You just get used to it, don't you?
Yes,
do you know,
you
adapt. That's the thing.
Yeah. You don't realise how bad you feel until you feel good. Or you don't realise how good you feel until you feel bad.
Exactly. And that's the thing about helping people with a fitness journey, isn't it? You don't know until you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's one of those. But yeah, it's possible. And I enjoyed the challenge as well.
Yeah,
but like,
that's
a
cracking challenge.
I need to switch this shit up.
Yeah. Because that's not just about physical, is it? That's a full challenge. You are changing your life to try and improve, you know, the most manly bit about you to make you a better person. It's a great challenge.
And again, it's all about sustainability, isn't it? It's no good being a certain way in your 30s or, you know, 20s, 30s. It's like, what are you like when you're 50? You know, and then after that, you know what I mean?
Building something that you can continue to do for the rest of your life. That's exactly what
I want to be
about.
At a scale of mountain when I'm older, do you know, and all that sort of thing. Choose to do it, I don't want to say, oh, no, I can't do that because I'm past it. Mm. Oh, but by the way, look at me when I was 30. Do you know what I mean?
We all know those. So I have a little thing in my training system. I jump every session. I make sure I jump. I do a jump, whatever gym session it is. If there's not one, like, but we did baby bar. Yeah. If there's not a jump, I'll make sure I do a set of jumps in every single workout, because at one point in our life we lose the ability to jump, and we don't know when that is. Yeah. You know, if I ask my nan to jump, she can't jump. Mm. She doesn't know when that. So I don't want to ever lose the ability to jump.
Yeah.
So I make sure I do it every... And you know now, I started doing it in running, and it's actually sort of given me a bit of like childlike energy. So as I'm running, me and the missus are going for a nice 5K or whatever, and I can see like a little branch up there. I'm running and jumping to try and hit it. Yeah. And then, because I've hit that, I've got a little bit more energy. Yeah. And I'm running faster and I'm feeling better. And do you know things like that? Mm. It just all coincides with each other, doesn't it?
Yeah.
About keeping that young feeling for as long as physically possible.
Yeah.
Tell them about my... our little pre-podcast routine. What did we come up with?
That's yours. It just created a legit exercise. And I'm like, I've never seen that before, but it looks pretty legit. So we call my little pet name for him's Keithy. Alex O'Keefe, we call him Keithy. And he gets down on his haunches and he's like, elevated heel, knees over toes, sat right down in a squat, and then he just jumps really high like an animal. And I'm like, And he did about 10 reps and he was trying to get his energy up and I went, that looks like a cool exercise. I'm calling it the Keithy squat. So I started including that.
Keithy squat.
Including it in my classes.
Have you?
Yeah, yeah.
That's brilliant.
I use quality. I'll show you when we're done.
That's why it just calms you out before podcast, is it?
Well, it just gets your energy up and sometimes I'll do a bit of breathing to centre and then just get the
energy. I think we should do them.
Yeah.
Go on, you need to show me them.
Yeah, we'll do it. Should we do it now?
Do it.
Now, any podcast I go to, I'm going to have to do that, aren't I?
Keithy squats.
Yeah.
Keithy squats.
Sorry, boys, give me 2 seconds. It'll be 30 seconds, I swear.
No, thank you for sharing that with us as well. That's, you know, it's useful for the men. You know, if they're feeling low, a lot of people are talking about mental health now.
Massively. Mm.
But they don't put that link together that it's the testosterone that they could be struggling with, most definitely struggling with. And I think it's just opening people's minds to we need to talk about this sort of stuff know how we deal with it and it's okay. It's not a taboo subject
for us males. As we've been grown up we've been taught to be as masculine as possible, but now we're getting taught don't be too masculine because it's toxic. So it's very hard to talk about masculinity and am I being masculine? Am I not masculine? And it's a really difficult topic these days.
Yeah. Mm. The girls are going the other way as well.
Yeah.
Getting dominated by the girls.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, it's just a mad world we live in. Yes, a lot of confusion. There's a lot of mixed information. There's a lot of mixed opinions. So it's just difficult for people that don't really have a clue about any of this. Mm. It really is difficult for people because they don't understand and there's so much conflicting information from people just trying to make money and things.
When you're confused, though, you're easily controlled.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening, man.
Big liner, well done.
Yeah.
Big liner.
I'm quite good for them. Coming out with
them. Yeah, one liner. Banging them out.
Mushrooms, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a mushroom, but it's true, though, isn't it? It's like, you know, if you kind of, your mind's scattered everywhere and then you see some sort of, you know, godlike creature saying, come to me, I know the answer. That might be the government for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening. So, again, we come back to the keep your tribe small, keep your, you know, community small.
And yeah, and keep them honest, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very much agree. Mm. Very much agree.
No confusion.
Yeah, yeah. And you just got to be transparent. That's why I'm transparent about steroids and with everything, you know?
Mm. I love that, mate.
To be totally honest, because you have to... People are trying to go through what you're gone through and are like you're trying to tell people to go through what you've gone through, but you're actually lying about it. There's no point in it. There's absolutely no point. You're not helping anybody. You know, I did have a little bit of a shit time. You know, when I had my gyno surgery. I love exercise. I love it. It's my escape. Sometimes if I'm in a mood, send me to the gym for 45 minutes and make me do burpees for 45 minutes straight. I'll come back smiling. Yeah. You know, it's my, it is my complete release. Mm-hmm. And I was restricted with this bra on for, you know, a month, 2 months. Mm-hmm. Couldn't train for like 2 weeks. I couldn't really walk for a week because they say, keep your blood pressure down, just chill. Mm-hmm. It's a very hard time to have to self-evaluate yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't recommend gyno surgery to people. I wouldn't recommend people getting on steroids until you're at least, you know, until you're mid-30s, you know, whatever. Get your blood tests done. Mm. Check your testosterone levels. Try and do everything that you physically can to raise them naturally. Yeah. And then maybe look into it. For I don't think I will ever help someone take Tren or Mastron or anything that does not improve just testosterone. Like I will never subscribe, I will never tell anybody to take anything but testosterone ever again. Mm. Because it doesn't benefit you. You're doing it for the wrong reasons. Yeah. I can't help someone do something for the wrong reasons. Mm. I can't. I get people to come to me, say, oh Tom, I'm competing in 6 months, I'm competing in a year. Can you help me get ready? And no, I don't do any physique competitors. I don't do anything like that because I don't believe in it. Mm. And I'm not good enough to do it, to be honest. I've never done it, so I don't know.
It's got to float your boat, though, hasn't it, as well?
Yeah.
It's not really...
Leave it to the boys that smash it, then know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's an interesting conversation. It's one that needs to be spoke about a lot more, I feel. Thank you for your transparency on it. It's difficult for people to open up and be real about it, and I respect that. So a lot of people hide this stuff.
Yeah, I've never really lied about it. Like even when I was on my first cycle, I said, yeah, I'm on my first cycle. No, but you know, look, I've gained eight pounds within 8 weeks. It was great.
Well, that's just real, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't understand why people lied. I suppose it was a bit of taboo. Mm.
But to get rid of taboos, I think you need to talk about it.
Yeah. How often do you recommend a blood test to people? Let's say someone who's 35, between 35 and 50. For that guy, how often would you recommend?
Individual. Once a year. Once a year is probably enough. You know, but then you could sort of know, like, if your sleep isn't great, if you're tired all the time, if your mood, you know, try and sort stress, try and manage your stress, try and sort. And if these things aren't working, then maybe consult a doctor, isn't it? Because it's quite hard. And at least now we know telltale signs are realistically, it's going to be from 30 onwards. No one under 20 is going to have any issue. So I think, yeah, once you're over 30, start thinking about it and start thinking about how you feel as a person. If you're starting to get tired, if you're low moods, if you're a little bit depressed for no reason, if you know you're not getting it like you used to. Yeah. These are all telltale signs.
Yeah.
And just maybe speak to a doctor or reach out to anyone. One of us lot that have been through it a little bit and we can talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyone that can help a little bit.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Grip strength as well. Grip testing. That's one for me as well.
There's a relation between testosterone and grip strength. Yeah. Is there? Yeah. I definitely didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So if someone's struggling with a deadlift and their grip's compromised, or kettlebell swings and they think, I need to put this down, it's like, ooh. So I've got a grip tester
okay.
that I use. And if somebody's going through any particular training protocol, I'll keep an eye on it. And I'm like, something's dropping here. We'll focus more on recovery. We're just going to get on the mats and have a little roll around today. You know,
okay,
just
nice. Yeah,
you know what I mean,
because indicator,
it's like taper it off to then go back up again.
See, this is why I like talking to people like this, because you learn other things from people like this. I've never ever heard of that.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, so
yeah, so it's a good little telltale sign, isn't it?
Yeah, it's instant as well. So it's something that'll always, it serves me. Even without having my blood test,
you sort
I'll just
of know
go it. And I'll just grab it and I'll just give it a good squeeze and I'll think, fuck, what's happened there? It's dropped like 20 kilos, what's gone on? Okay, I need
it's
to...
It's all about effort, isn't it?
Yeah.
Testosterone makes effort feel good. That's what it does. When you haven't got... When you've got low test, effort feels horrible. It feels hard. When you have sufficient testosterone in your system, you feel like you can put in effort, you want to put in that effort, you're willing to put in that effort, you've got it there, you've got that dog in the tank, you know?
Yeah.
If you haven't got that dog right now, if you've, you know, you can't switch that mindset, then maybe you have got a little bit of low testosterone as well, because I think testosterone does make effort feel good.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
It's refreshing for me because I don't know much around the testosterone subject, so someone like myself, I'm 31 now.
Yeah.
Probably need to be getting a blood test to check on it. But
if you're high, then I wouldn't get checked for another 2 years, 3 years, because you don't change your lifestyle. Your lifestyle's already very healthy. You know, you're training, well-rounded individual. Yeah. So if your test now is high, then you don't need to get tested for another couple of years.
If it ain't broke, don't try fix it.
I need to get a test though, because a few of my mates keep saying you're on gear, aren't you?
No, just to prove.
Yeah, there you go. No, I'm not.
Yeah, fair.
Compliment though, isn't it?
Look pretty strong on them squats this morning, lad.
It is definitely. Yeah.
But again, it's refreshing to hear you openly talk about it, and that's what more people need to do, because end of the day, if you can have something that's going to make you feel better and it's not detrimental to your health,
yeah,
let's go.
Yeah,
why not?
100%. Yeah. But then I also understand why the likes of Steve Cook, who has been on TRT for about 6 years, I think he'd come out and said, he doesn't openly talk about it because he doesn't want to sway people to take it when they might not need, you know, because there's always those people, like in my career, I've had 17-year-old lads coming up to me asking me to get them trend, you know, or no, I'm lying. One of my 17-year-old clients came up to me and said, oh, I'm on trend. My dad's put me on trend.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Yeah, so obviously you don't want to... Some people are going to do it. They'll take a little bit of what you say. Oh, yeah, I take TRT, which... Oh, yeah, okay, they'll go on a full dose. Some people take what they want out of what you say.
Yeah.
So you've got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
Which is, I understand why. People like Steve Cook, why they didn't do it. They didn't want to influence people.
Yeah.
But I suppose I am... I want to tell people that it can be dangerous in the wrong ways. It generally... I have to have my nipples cut off. They're not good, literally, you know?
Yeah.
There are side effects, and I knew what I was doing. I know exactly what I'm doing. I studied for years before we ever did anything, and I still had to have my nipples cut off, you know? It's a crazy world. So if there's anyone debating, 20-year-olds debating it, stay off. Do not. Unless you generally want to make Mr. Rowe, Mr. Olympia.
Yeah.
Don't. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
At all.
Fair play.
Good advice, man.
What's next for you? What's your next goal now? You've achieved a lot in your life.
What's your next peak?
I don't know if there is.
Hmm?
Family. I think.
Yeah.
Family. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Me and the missus are moving back to Wales. I want to get her involved in my business, in the coaching business, because she's in a Skoda right now. She's a service advisor. She loves her job, but she loves the people. She doesn't like the actual job, and I want her to love what she's doing. She loves fitness. She used to take boot camps in Dubai. She used to PT in Dubai, but she hasn't done it in a few years, and she's lacking that confidence. Mm-hmm. So I want to get her back in and build that confidence with her, because she's her knowledge is great, she looks great, and she fucking loves helping people, and people love her. No one's ever met my missus and gone, she's a bitch, because she is so warm, and she is genuinely one of the nicest people I have ever met in her life,
yeah.
in my life. And I want to help her help people.
Yeah.
Because when she does help people now, she feels great, and I want to help her help more people. Mm. So I want to bring her into the business back home and then start a family.
Brilliant.
That's what I want. I don't know what else. I've got this, you know, Wales 3000 challenge, where it's the highest 15 peaks in Wales within 24 hours, and my goal is to do it in 12. Yeah. There's a cycling challenge I've got. Next year, I'm bringing out a mental health challenge month, 30 days of resilience challenge, just to help males. We were going to do it this November, but we're doing it next November. So that's a big sort of task ahead.
Yeah.
But the main thing is, yeah, I want to start a family.
That sounds great. Have your hands full.
Yeah.
Trust me.
But it'll be the best thing you ever did.
Yeah, and that's what I'm excited for. Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Nice.
Brilliant, mate.
Well, where do we find you on your online platforms if anybody wants to work with you, if anybody's resonated by your conversations and want more of you? Where do we find you on your platforms? And
my Instagram is @IamThomasPower. My coaching business is called Get It Done. Just drop us a message, drop us a follow. We try and post as much as we can. And if we don't post, it's because we're doing one-on-ones with clients and just enjoying life a little bit. If anybody, whatever, wants help, or, you know, even if you want advice, coaches will only ever give you advice to take your money. If you need help, if you need advice, we're not here for the money, we're here to help. And that's what it is.
Nice. Beautiful.
It's been refreshing, mate. Thank you for spending today with us. It's been fantastic, man.
Oh, I appreciate having me, boys.
Thank you for joining us, pal.
Respect.
You've been listening to the Immerse podcast with Alex O'Keefe and Dan Ramsden. If you're enjoying these conversations, you can follow us on all major streaming platforms and get ready to immerse yourself into the upcoming and exciting conversations that we have in store for you. In addition to this, if you're looking to enhance your performance and overall well-being, you can follow our recovery brand at Immerse Recovery on all social media platforms. Alternatively, you can visit www.immerserecovery.co.uk.